We're in Isaiah chapter 40. Chapter 40 is a new kind of section in Isaiah. It's the section that begins with comfort. And so far in our study through Isaiah, it's been warnings and the trouble that would be coming. When Isaiah gets through with the prophetic warning of what's going to come to pass for God's people because of their rebellion, he then turns from that warning of judgment to comfort. God's last word to us is not judgment, but deliverance. God speaks judgment so that, prayerfully, he can deliver. That's the intent. So when Isaiah warns of judgment in the beginning of chapter 40, the Lord now speaking through Isaiah says, comfort ye my people. Now that they're in Babylon, now that they've been taken away captive, he wants them comforted, and then he wants them to return. The children of Israel were few in number comparatively to the other nations of the world. And the victories that the Assyrians had won, the victories that many of the nations around Israel had taken, made it seem as though those other nations and their gods were stronger than Israel's God. Countries and nations in those days especially seemed to rate the nation's God based upon how many victories the nation would win. So with Assyria being such a powerful nation and having so many victories, the obvious implication was their God must be stronger than anybody else's. But that's not true. And God proved that to the Assyrians by simply putting one warrior in the midst of their entire army. And God's one warrior took out 185,000 of the Assyrian army. So, you know, whose God is greater? God didn't even get involved with that battle. He just sent an angel. So the power play here of nations and what it seems to be, and you can relate to this perhaps today, the things that are going on in this world where the enemy seems to be having victory. It might seem as though the enemy's stronger. It might seem as though he's winning. It might seem as though the devil's having his way and that he's got the upper hand in this world. But God proves otherwise, and he will do so again in our text today. Israel needs to be reminded. They need to be refreshed that God is on the throne and that his power is the power they need to keep focused on. Beginning there in verse 21, Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The earth, God can just sit on it. He can just use it as a stool if he wants to. And everything on the earth is like bugs, teeny little bugs, not real significant. Kind of puts us in our perspective places. He spreads out the skies, or literally the universe, like a curtain. You know, just flips it out there like a sheet. You know, he's that one that brings the princes, it says, verse 23, to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. This is what happens to God's enemies. This is what happens to the earth. So, Isaiah reminds the people of that because, verse 25, God speaks up and says, to whom then, because of all that, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Now, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number, speaking of the stars. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord is speaking something here, sharing something here that I find rather remarkable. The circumstances and situation for Israel was difficult pretty much all the time. The Assyrians were one issue. Babylonians were another issue. For that, in earlier days, it was the Philistines. It was the Amorites. It was the Amalekites. It was the Perizzites. It was all kinds of enemies that constantly came against them, threatening their life, threatening their existence. I just read an article where Ahmadinejad, now declaring publicly, openly again, we will destroy Israel. They've had threats like that from the beginning. I don't know who that guy thinks he is, but if he wants to join the ranks of those that have made that threat, good luck with that. But they have been threatened, and their situation has looked bleak many times. And you might be able to relate to Israel. The world is just seemingly too ominous to overcome. Situations and circumstances seem too difficult, too challenging to meet. But when you look at God through circumstances, he does seem rather small. But if you look at circumstances through God's lens, then he is huge. Which is what we're told here. Isaiah makes that clear. Have you not heard, he says, haven't you understood this? From the beginning, it was him who created all the heavens. He names the stars by name, by his might. I'm thinking God has a mighty mind. We don't even know for sure how many stars there are in the universe, but he knows everyone by name. He knows the hairs on your head, the number, or the lack of the number. Minus figure or a positive one, depending, I guess. But he knows everything about everyone and everything. He created it all. He throws out the universe out there like it's a sheet. He can sit on the earth. Interesting allusion here to the earth being round before anyone ever really had thought that through. The Bible had already declared it. He sits upon the circle of the earth, not on the table. But the reminder here is that God is the one that we are supposed to compare everything else to. We're not supposed to look at our circumstances and then go, oh no, what are we going to do now? We're supposed to look at God, as he reminds them here, look up, and then look at your circumstances after you've looked at God. Then see what the circumstance looks like. If he can create and sustain the heavens, stars, the whole universe, can he handle your problems? Or are your issues just too big for him? Now, sadly, some people, they won't admit to this, but this is how they live. They live as if that's true, even though they would never confess it, because it sounds way too ridiculous to admit that God could handle holding the universe together that moves at 438,000 miles per hour, this massive, humongous thing we call the universe. And he just kind of keeps it all from crashing and burning, knowing every detail of every star, every planet, everything. And yet, when it comes to my situation, like it would be for Israel, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the Babylonians? What are we going to do about these guys? What are we going to do? He said that. They did this. Whew, that's too big for God. Look at the contrast in this particular text in verse 28 through 30. I want to read it again. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The everlasting God mentioned here faints not, right? And of course, we would agree with that. Of course, God doesn't faint. He doesn't get exhausted. You know, people say he created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and then he rested. Boy, I bet he was tired. No, he didn't quit and rest because he was tired. He was done. The amazing part of that whole issue is that he did all that we see, all that we know, in 6 days and then stopped because he was finished. That's the miraculous part. But people want to say, well, he quit because he was pooped out. No, he never faints. He never gets weary. Now, I faint. I get weary. You? And I mean physically, sure. Mentally, no doubt about it. But even more so, spiritually, I get weary. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that feels like? Have you experienced it? Are you experiencing it? In all honesty, I'm exhausted in just about every single facet of life right now. I am just exhausted. So this was a timely word for me. It's tiring living this life. Physically, you get tired. Mentally, if you think for more than a few minutes, you get tired. Your mind gets tired. You know, some of us can think a little longer than that. Eventually, every one of us in our minds, being finite, will eventually wear out. And spiritually, you will grow physically exhausted in the sense that your body tells you oftentimes what's going on spiritually with you. And that's a telltale. We all know this exhaustion, I think, which causes us to do something. And I know you might just want to listen in today, because you might say, well, that's you, that's not me. But I'm going to confess some things. When I get exhausted like this, when I experience this exhaustion, it causes me to argue with God. It causes me to cry and say, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you doing what you're supposed to do? And I tend to have a complaining and kind of an argumentative attitude with God. But when I read this text, and I read it this week again and again, I shared it with my wife, Terry. I said, listen to this, because she knows. She knows me. She knows when things are pulling me down. And I read this, and the only explanation for a weakling, listen to me, the only explanation for a weakling in God's universe who never faints, who never grows weary, the only explanation for a weakling in this universe is that one has severed their dependence upon God, who is omnipotent and powerful and amazing. So man's weakness comes from man's sin, which separates him from God in that sense. And that will make you tired. That will make you extremely tired. Why am I so pooped out? Why am I so tired out? I had to ask myself that several times this week alone. Why so weary? What am I so tired for? What am I so weary for? Then I had to come to terms with it. Probably self-reliance and relying on myself, which, by the way, is disguised as nobility, but it's really just sin. Well, what do you mean? It sounds like you're really giving a good college try there. Sounds like you're really working hard. It's doing some good things, Pastor Matt. We really appreciate that. No. Self-reliance, no matter how you package it or disguise it, is sin and will leave you exhausted spiritually, physically, mentally. You will be wiped out. Been there? Know where that place is? Now, for me, this sheds some light on the problems I often find myself in when I'm trying to seek God's guidance or his provision or his deliverance from things. Do you know what I mean? Because whenever we try to battle this thing called life out in our own strength, we become weary and very ineffective. Doesn't take long, I found, to exhaust my resources. You? People say, well, you're a pastor. You're strong. No. I can show you how strong I am in about 3 seconds. Time's up. Okay, we're done. Right? That's it. That's about all the strength I can muster up. And then I am weary. And according to what this passage teaches, God amazingly wants to make us like him in this area of strength. Verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. they that wait upon him are going to renew their strength. He wants to make me like him in this area of strength. This is what redemption, by the way, folks, is all about. It's to turn sinful men into godly men. Oh, I'm all for the not paying the penalty for my sin. I'm all over that. I'm blessed. I'm glad. That's not going to happen for me. But the idea for redemption is now to take a sinful man like me and to make a godly man out of me. Salvation, folks, stamps out the image of sin in my life and stamps in the image of Jesus Christ. Now, with that stamping comes a world of interesting things. And what's really fascinating about this is the order of the text. The order that is presented here is interesting. Note this in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings, first of all. Then it says they shall run. And then it says they shall walk. Now, I don't know about you, I learned how to walk before I learned how to run. And I still don't have the flying thing down yet. Now, why is it here? I mean, most of us aren't even willing to try and fly. But why is it here? Isn't this strange to you that God says, first of all, mount up with wings. Then they will run and they will walk and not faint. The order seems a little odd to me until I realize, of course, God's ways are not my ways. His thoughts aren't my thoughts. He does things different. You've ever noticed that? That's the first clue, by the way, as to whether or not you're pulling this thing off yourself or trying to, or God's doing the work. Someone often will bring up, so how do you explain what's going on at your church? And I always say, I don't. Because if you can explain what's going on at your church, God's probably not doing it. Everybody wants to explain it. I don't know. People say, how did that happen? Don't know. Can't explain it. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. That's all I can say. Right? It wasn't my doing. I would have done it entirely different and ruined everything. There's a real giveaway when you're doing it in your own strength. It's not God's way. God's way is always different. It's always seemingly opposite. God says, first mount up, then run, then walk. That's God's order. Why? Why is it God's order? Why did we have to do it this way? Because for most of us, this would cause us to give up immediately. Okay, he says, I need to fly. I can't fly, so I'm done. Right? Can't even walk straight. Well, watch what it says here. The Apostle Paul says that our position, our posture as born-again believers is that we are seated in heavenly places. Correct? That means we are already there for all intents and purposes. So when this is mentioned here, then we have already mounted up in heavenly places. We are there in heaven, in Christ. And see, this is something that eluded me for a long time. In fact, this week alone, I got slammed with this. And it's just amazing to me all over again. My heart must first be in heaven before my feet can be on the ground. I cannot walk on this earth unless my heart is firmly seated in heaven. Unless I am mounted up in heaven, positionally locked, keeping that my focus, then there's no way in the world my feet are going to do anything on this earth but faint and get weary. First, it's mounting up. It's not what we think. It's not, well, I'll get better at this. As I walk, I'll start to run, and then maybe someday I'll soar like an eagle. God says, no, mount up first. Mount up and soar in your positional salvation. You have to know, folks, that you're in Christ in heaven by faith. His risen life holds you above every situation, every circumstance, every disappointment. If not, then all we're doing is walking around bumping into things, bumping into each other, getting mad. Hey, quit bumping into me. I'm getting tired. I'm getting faint, getting agitated, right? What's up with Christians being so agitated? I think they're fainting, getting weary, angry, right? I don't think that they're mounted up. That's what I think's wrong. I think when that's the case for me, I haven't mounted up. I dismounted. And now I'm walking around kicking things, biting people's head off, right? That's what weary people, that's what people who are fainting, that's what they do. I can't walk unless I've flown and ran. I can't. I can't do it. I will be tired and weary. My circumstances will just slam me to the ground. Situations will take and just shake me up and throw me like a rag doll all over the place. I'll get taken away here and taken away there. Circumstances will dominate my life. Does that sound familiar? I was doing great until this happened. Really? So if that hadn't happened, you'd be doing great with the Lord, is that? Yeah, kind of. Not true. Because mounting up gets you above in heavenly places where He, Christ, holds you in His power, where circumstances, situations are below you. Until they are, you cannot walk among them in power. They will win every time. Until my confidence is in Christ, and knowing that I'm secure there with Him, safe, soaring, flying high above life's circumstances and difficulties. No, not that they're not still there. They are. They're still there facing me every day. But there are times when I can't take another step. You know what I mean? I can't take another step. I'm exhausted. I just can't do it. And the Lord will speak this to me as He did this week. And He'll say, your confidence is in your walk. And it's not very good walk. It's not a very strong walk. You don't have enough strength in those legs of yours. My confidence, not being in Christ, will leave me weary. And I will be locked in. I won't be delivered. I won't have guidance. Any of those things. And if you do have confidence in Christ, you're going to know what guidance and deliverance are. How? How does it work? Again, it's all in the text, as it always is. The Lord just kind of emphasizes certain parts of this for me. They that wait upon the Lord. I cannot mount up. I cannot even be consciously in heavenly places spiritually without waiting on the Lord. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about that. Waiting on the Lord is hoping in the Lord. It's having confidence in Him because He always is successful. He never fails. He never faints. Now, this isn't me. I don't equate me here. It's not me being that way. It's Him. Which means I have to come to terms with the fact that I am not those things. I'm not strong enough. I do faint. I do get weary. I do get agitated. I do spiritually kick the dog, so to speak. I get upset for reasons that I wrestle with. You? Sometimes I just sit down in a heap and just say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why do I do that? When you hope in the Lord, when you wait on the Lord, it means that you have confidence in Him because you will then take the place where God has put you. And this is the key. Where has He put me? Well, positionally, He's put me in heavenly places. Okay? That's the basis for my life. And if I have confidence in Christ, then I know He's going to keep me there. This morning, when I got up, guess where I was? I was in heaven. Where were you? Now, sometimes we know we're in heaven positionally, but we act like we're in hell practically, don't we? The basis for my life has to be heaven. Otherwise, my walk on this earth will seem kind of hellish. And this is why Christians can be accused of looking like the rest of the world when they're supposed to be Christian. They're supposed to be different. We're supposed to soar. We're supposed to be higher above the circumstances and situation that life throws at us than other people are. Do you have a difficult time being where God's placed you? Because if you know where you're placed heavenly, then you shouldn't have a problem where you're placed earthly. It's a very secondary issue at that point. Am I content? Am I aware? Am I fully convinced that I am seated with Christ right now in heavenly places? Positionally, I am there. I've mounted up. If that's so, I will run and not get weary. I will walk and not faint. If I'm fainting, if I'm weary, I've lost my confidence in Him and where I sit. And therefore, I'm not content where I have to be here. This is so key. Do you ever hear yourself? Do you ever talk to others and you wonder, I'm just not content being in this situation. I'm not content being where I am. You know, there's an old commentator used to say, bloom where you're planted. Some people have a problem with that. Well, move me and I'll bloom. Put me in another person's life, then I'll bloom. No, that's not the way it works. You bloom where you're planted. You should be content where God has put you on this earth because you're in heavenly places, right? So it's not here that's the problem. It's the confidence I have in there, in Him, and what He has done. That's where the confidence problem is. It's not in what I am about here or what I have here or where I've been placed here. We're working on this, right? Down here, I'm working on where I've been planted, trying to move that, trying to change that. I'm working on the people that I've been planted with because they've got issues. I'm working on everything here when the problem is my position and confidence in where I am there. I forgot that I'm mounted up. I've got eagle's wings and I can soar. I'm not supposed to be down in here kicking and scratching through life. So many are. You might be frustrated today. Anybody ever get frustrated? What is that anyway, frustrated? What does it mean to be frustrated? Well, to me it means nothing's working out the way I want it to, right? That leads to frustration. I want this. It didn't happen. That's all it takes, right? We want to just be honest about the whole thing. I want this. It didn't happen. I'm mad now. Frustrated. You might be frustrated. You might be lonely. You might be defeated. You might feel depressed. You might feel discouraged. I understand that. I know what that feels like. I know that experience quite well, actually. So what is it here God wants to do? Well, it's in the text again. He wants to renew. Renewal is the real key here. If I've lost my confidence in my position, that means my life is definitely exhibiting the proof of that lack of confidence in Christ, which means I'm fainting, right? When I'm walking and I'm weary, when I'm running and I'm not soaring at all, circumstances dominate me. So if that's true, then I need renewal, right? We use the term, Christians do, you know, we need renewal. We need a renewal of our spiritual life. We need to be renewed. And that's true. It's biblical. It's here. God says that if they that wait upon the Lord will do so, they shall renew their strength. Renewing, making it new again, because it's obviously gotten old. I'm going to say it. Some Christians, their life as Christians have become old. When it does, when your Christian life becomes old hat, your life begins to resemble fainting and weariness, period. Everything you do is tiresome, wears you out. You can't even go to church without getting tired. I'm tired. I had to get up and go to church. Man, that took it out of me. I'm going to go home and take a nap. In fact, I might take a nap now. You know, everything that's done is tiring, isn't it, sometimes? And this is why I've lost my confidence in my God. So it's renewal. How does it begin? How does this renewal start? Well, look at the text. Those who wait upon the Lord renew their strength, or the term is literally exchange. The term for renew is exchange. This is key. You need to remember it and never forget it. We tend to think of renewal like I've got to do something new. I've got to do something new to make me new again. No, that's not the idea at all. God has made you new. In Christ, you are seated, again, heavenly places. You've mounted up. But He says here, you need to wait on Him so that you can exchange your own strength, which isn't much, for His power and might. It's an exchange. I give Him my weakness. He gives me His strength. I have to exchange it, though, which means what? It means I have to let go of my weakness and exchange it for His strength. Sometimes this is a problem. It shouldn't be. It seems unlikely that it would be a problem. You know, hey, who wouldn't want to exchange weakness, weariness, fainting, you know, agitation, frustration, loneliness, all that stuff? Who wouldn't want to exchange that for God's power and strength? But it's funny how many people won't do it. No, I'm kind of attached to that weakness. I'm kind of attached to that weariness. Why would anybody be attached to that? Well, I think for some, it gives us some validity as to why we fail and why we keep failing and why we can keep doing poorly. Just can't seem to get the mounting up part down. Boy, that's a tough one. No, that's where it began. That's where it begins. Now, where it ends, note in heaven, every reference in heaven is not mounting up. It's not flying, opposed to popular belief, of course. It's not even running. Do you know what every reference in heaven refers to? We shall walk with him. We're not running anywhere in heaven. We're not flying anywhere. The time for mounting up and running is here, but walking is the end result. You soar over life circumstances and you run the race to finish the prize, as Paul put it. And then when you get to heaven, let's walk and not faint ever. Now, doesn't that sound good? It sounds good to me. But here's the thing. People often ask me, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Does that mean I just don't do anything? No. That's not what it means. Waiting on the Lord here, and this is something I had to do this week. I have to do it a lot. I confessed to the Lord that it had been a while since I'd actually done this, which is why I was weary, tired, fainting. Agitation was setting in. Frustration. Started looking at people. How come they're not doing good? Why are they doing so poorly? Of course, the Lord just whispers in my ear, why are you doing so poorly? Because they are. That work? That working for me? No, not working. And this is the reason. It wasn't working because I wasn't waiting. And when I wasn't waiting, I wasn't renewed. If I'm not renewed, then I'm fainting and I'm weary. So what does it mean to wait? Well, this is what I found this week. Maybe you can relate. To wait on the Lord means to be quiet, quit talking. How many times I'm going to get with the Lord, and I've got this list of things that me and the Lord are going to talk about. I've got so many things to talk over with you, Lord. Is that the way it works, to wait on the Lord? Mm-mm. Not for me. I find it's be quiet. Don't say a thing. That's challenging for some, especially me. Don't say a word. Be quiet. No complaints either. It's not the time for the complaint department to be opened up. I'm going to wait on the Lord. By the way, Lord, there's a lot of things wrong in this world, in my life, in these people, in that situation. It's not a complaint time. It's not what waiting on the Lord encompasses either. No arguing with God while you wait. Because here's the thing. Arguing, complaining, talking, period, will do nothing in the exchange of strength department. That's what you're after, right? They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, or literally exchange their weakness for his strength. That's what you're after, isn't it? So talking, complaining, murmuring, all those things that we tend to do, does nothing for that. In fact, it just distracts us from what really needs to happen. Don't argue. In fact, I find that as difficult as it is, I'll just sit there and say, Lord, speak to me. Quick, because if you don't, I'm going to start talking. You know this? Do you know this routine? You might be thinking, boy, Pastor, man, you're not very spiritual. You know, you're right. I have to do exactly what everybody else has to do, and that is what I'm being instructed to do here. Because when I get weary, and I get faint, and I get tired, and I get frustrated, I need to stop, and I need to go be with the Lord and wait on him and allow him to speak and break my heart if necessary. By the way, almost every time it's necessary. By the time I get to the place that I'm weary and I'm tired and I'm fainting and I'm agitated and I'm frustrated and I'm that kind of person all of a sudden, I need my heart broken by the time I get with the Lord. Well, it sounds painful. It is. Weeping, crying. The Lord shows me what kind of ministry's been taking place under my weary, worn out attempts, and it breaks my heart. And then he shows me what he wants to do. But it's going to take an exchange of strength. It's going to take an exchange. My weakness needs to be given up, and his strength needs to be moved in. And when I spend that time, I you know, it's bittersweet. I find myself in just a pool of tears. I'm just like a sobbing puppy, you know. But here's the thing. I instantly sense renewal, like some infection has been washed out of my body. The weird loneliness starts dissipating, fading. And there's a new confidence all of a sudden in his power. New confidence in what he can do, what his power is capable of doing. A new confidence in him and a brand new reality of who I am and what my abilities are, which aren't much. And that's okay, because it's his power that works in us to do his good pleasure, to do those things that are right. When it's me working, I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm fainting, you know, and whoever is on the other end of that is probably getting beat up a little bit. He comes with strength into my life when that happens, when I wait on him. I'd like to tell you that I wait on him every single day. I don't. I haven't. I've been tired and weary because of it. I have struggled because of it. But you know what? When he comes with this new, renewed strength, power, and life, all of a sudden, guidance in my life is clearing up. Deliverance and this inexhaustible supply comes to me. But here's when it comes, and you need to hear me. You need to hear this. It comes to me when I quit trying to defend my weakness. Folks, quit trying to defend your weakness. People just think that that's okay. Oh, Pastor Matt, I know. But you don't understand. I'm just so weak. Yeah, I understand weakness. I understand weariness, fainting. But for you, I don't care who it is, for me, for any of us, it's the same reality. It's the same reason. So I can honestly tell this person who says, no, I'm just so weak, weary, tired, I'm fainting, I'm breaking down. That's great. It's the same reason I break down. You're not waiting on the Lord and renewing, exchanging your weakness for his strength. That's what's happening. Well, that's got to be more complicated than that. Is it? No, it's not. Anything wrong with the power of God? No. Anything missing? Lacking? Do you ever do this, though? Well, God just didn't give me enough. I guess I watch other people. They're doing really well. I guess God gave them more. Oh, that's so bogus. Isn't it? What a lame thing to say. And sometimes when people are waiting on the Lord, renewing their strength, exchanging their weakness for God's strength, sometimes people look at him and go, yeah, goody goods. Really? Isn't it true that so often people who are running and fainting and walking and getting weary and falling down, isn't it true that sometimes watching somebody actually soar makes you mad? I mean, it shouldn't, but let's be honest. How well they're doing. Losers. Come down to earth with the rest of us. No, I'll stay in heaven, thanks. I'm going to stay positionally seated in heavenly places. I'm not getting dragged into that. If my heart's in heaven, then when my feet hit the ground, they hit the ground running the race and walking the walk without fainting, without weariness. And that's the same thing for all of us. God's not partial to persons here. He doesn't say, well, I gave that to Isaiah and a couple other people, but the rest of you guys, man, you're on your own. No exchange for you. You got to quit defending the fact that you're weak and start letting God's power renew, exchange your weakness for strength. I love that hymn, I am weak, but thou art strong. Just a closer walk with thee. I'm weak, no question about it, but he is strong. And our great God says, I'll swap you. Waiting on the Lord is like a swap meet. You ever go to swap meets? Right? You ever go to a swap meet and feel really good when you take some piece of junk? Huh? Tell me the truth. And you swap it for something you really wanted. And you walk away feeling pretty good, don't you? In fact, we use terms like, I stole this. Right? Really what you mean is, I took advantage of this guy. He didn't know what he had. I gave him this thing, which is absolutely worthless. And he gave me that. Wow, feeling pretty good. That's what God does for us. We take our junky, weak, frail, burned out, run down selves, and we take them to God, and there he is with all his value and power, and we say, hey, I'll trade you. Only difference is God's fully aware that what he's giving you is potent, powerful, and valuable, and what you're giving him is absolutely worthless. But you've got his stamp on your life. You've been stamped in the image of Christ. And therefore, the exchange is possible. Not only possible, absolutely certain. If you will wait on him, you'll just wait on the Lord. God's offer today is to exchange your weak self for his untiring, unending strength. But when he does that, you know what's the most amazing thing? You quit complaining. And you quit thinking about things like you used to. You quit kind of going over and over and over in your mind those same worthless thoughts. Are you seated in heavenly places today? Are you? Everybody? Seated in heavenly places? Born again? I'm in heaven positionally, right? If that's true, then rise up. Mount up. That's God's word. Mount up. By faith, I'm in heaven. By faith, circumstances, situations, peoples, any kind of problems, any kind of enemy, any and every obstacle of life, I am soaring over them. Get that locked in. And then when your feet hit the ground, you will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Lose that perspective, and we'll be picking you up along the way. A lot of people on stretchers, out of breath, tired. Could have picked me up on a stretcher this week. Weary, tired. God spoke in my heart, rise up, run, walk. Don't be weary, don't faint. And then he said, you spend time with me until it is so. And until you do that, do not complain and poor mouth about how I'm not strong enough. And I said, okie dokie. Alrighty. So what I do, I sat down quietly by myself and let him talk. And you just overheard our conversation. So I think God gave me permission to go ahead and share it with you because I didn't want to hear that one alone. I don't want to hear that alone. And there's so many of you, I think, that are in that same spot. You're tired. Rise up. And if you are weak and you're running on empty, then listen. Get with the Lord and you spend time waiting on him until he renews your strength, until he exchanges that weakness. And you know when your feet hit the ground, they're not going to be dragging, they're running without weariness. Your walk is without fainting because your heart, your spirit, your soul, your entire being is seated in heavenly places with Christ. You've mounted up, then you can run, then you can walk. And everything has a different perspective. Everything. I woke up this morning after having a great day yesterday. Christmas, had all our kids, grandkids over. Wow. Talk about getting weary. Physically wear you out. So much fun. So. I mean, you know, I woke up this morning. Actually, I started feeling it last night before I went to bed. I'm getting sick. Imagine that. 7 grandkids over, and I'm getting sick. Happens all the time. Terry, my wife, says, you were kissing those babies. Yes, I was. I was kissing those babies. Can't help it. You get my grandkids around me, that's it. Had a great time, but woke up this morning sick as a dog, you know? But I mounted up. Mounted up because God is my God. And I'm in Christ and I'm seated in heaven right now. So, hey, I'm tired physically a little bit. Doesn't matter. My feet are still going to hit the ground running. And even though physically I'll get tired, I'll be spent on the run for Christ, but my spiritual energy has been renewed this week. So whatever else happens is, okay. And I'll take a cold any day if it means slobbering all over my grandkid. God loves us so much, and his heart breaks when you're weary and you're exhausted in that way, when you're unable because you've fallen. And his desire is for you to exchange that. Give it to Him and let Him make you strong. So you can walk and run and soar, and life just won't be what it's always been. Just a set of circumstances that bring you down. You'll be flying over them. You'll be lifted up as you mount up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us such a wonderful encouragement in Your Word today. I know for me personally, Lord, You have been faithful in this. And for anybody, for everyone who would simply stop, quit arguing, quit talking, quit complaining, quit trying to figure it out, and just sit and let You speak, then You will renew, You will exchange, and You will empower. Help our focus, Lord, to be heaven and where we're seated, that our feet might walk on this earth in power and might. Bless this day. Thank You for loving us. Thanks for being faithful to us. I pray for each person here, if they're weary and tired, I pray that as brothers are available up front here, that they would come and perhaps be prayed over, and let's all go to the Lord together and seek to have renewal and exchange weakness for strength, because He is so willing to do it. And Lord, we know that that's true. So we pray it, we ask it in the name of our Jesus Savior, the One who came to die for our sins, the One who lifts us up and allows us to soar. In Jesus' name, amen.